The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, thank you, Brother Heminger. I appreciate that. You know, Christmas time is a special time of year. Of course, Rebecca, raise your hand, Rebecca, and she is here to be with us for the Christmas time. And what a wonderful delight it is to be able to have her in from North Carolina. And of course, I know you feel the very same way as you have had opportunity to maybe go ahead and introduce some of your guests or some of your relatives. And I thank the Lord for family and friends. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'd like for us to read it together. Could we do that? John chapter 3 and verse 16. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many years ago, Dr. Harold Seitler, a great preacher of yesteryear, was riding down, and he had this big old trailway bus that he would go from area to area. And of course, they had a Bible college there in the Greenville, South Carolina area. And he would take that bus, and he would go from one area to the other, and he would preach, and was a marvelous, marvelous preacher. I mean, he would get up, and he would preach, and you would sit on the edge of your seat as you heard Dr. Seitler preach. I remember first time I ever attended their church, kind of scared me a little bit. I've not been used to something like that, but it was on a Wednesday night, and we were passing through in the area of evangelism, and we attended his church, and he said, okay, men, it's time to pray. And all the men came forward and gathered around the altar, and everybody started praying out loud. I mean, out loud. I'm kneeling there, and I wasn't used to praying out loud in such a way, but they were praying very, very loud, and boy, it seemed like that one was in competition, maybe slightly over the other. Then it all kind of waned off a little bit, and no one closed it out. And I thought, boy, that is neat. That is neat. And then, shouting church. I mean, a shouting church. And Dr. Seitler would get up to preach. And oh, my, it was a shouting church. And they would shout the rooftops down. But I remember him telling a story. He had all sorts of different men that was in the church, like we do here. We have people, of course, that teach at Baylor University, and so many other people that teach at different places that are of high education. And he had such people in his church too, and he always tried to preach messages that was just so profound. And one day he's coming back on that big old bus, and he had a choir that was traveling with him that time, and they were singing in conferences and whatnot, and he was coming back, and of course he knew Greek and Hebrew, and he would read his Bible through in the Greek and the Hebrew, and I just knew his Bible, and just a great Bible scholar. And so he's coming back on that trailway bus that they had, they owned at the church. And as he's coming back and he's getting closer to the church, God spoke to his heart and said, I want you to preach today on John, or tomorrow on John 3:16. Oh, Dr. Seitler said, oh, you don't want me to preach on John 3:16. I mean, you know, what is my people going to think? I mean, I've got Bible professors there, and I have people that's attending the church, and high-educated type of people, and a businessman. What in the world? He said, he began to argue back and forth with the Lord. I can't preach on John 3:16. That is just, I can't do that. I just can't do that. He argued back and forth with the Lord, and finally the Lord won out, and he said, okay. He said, I don't know what my people's going to think, but he said, I'll get up and I'll preach on John 3:16. And he got up that morning, preached on John 3:16. And when he preached on John 3:16, four Sunday school teachers or so received Christ as Savior, and other leaders in the church because he was submissive to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to take and preach this morning on John 3:16, God's Christmas gift. God's Christmas gift. If there's one verse in the Bible, dear friend, that I could say would be the verse that if I had no Bible at all, no Bible at all, but only would have one verse out of the Bible, but rest of the Bible is gone and forgotten forever, it would be John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, why? Because I believe the gospel is given right here in John 3:16, and it shows how much God wants the world to be saved, and that God wants the world to be able to see that they can have everlasting life, and that you can have everlasting life through His only begotten Son. Many years ago, there was a lady, just like some of you, was in a hurry to do her Christmas shopping, and so she was hurrying, frazzled, and she was running from store to store, and she was trying to get that last-minute Christmas shopping done, and she lost her son. She looked here and she looked there, couldn't find the son anywhere, and she looked everywhere, and started calling his name as she was walking down different places and whatnot, and so she decided to go outside, and sure enough, he was just about a block and a half away, 9-year-old little boy, about a block and a half away, and he had his nose pinched up against that glass that was the storefront window, and he had his nose pinched up against that glass, and she grabbed his ear and said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking at the Christmas scene. There's Jesus in a manger. Mama, Mama," he said, "come look. There's Jesus in the manger. Mama, look at this. You've never seen anything like this before. Mama, it's beautiful." She pulled that little boy's ear even more hard and said, "You come with me. I don't have time for that. I'm preparing for Christmas." Now, can I tell you, there's the wrong thing I believe that she had in her heart, because Christmas is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here she was. She was trying to prepare for Christmas as she pulled that young boy away. Now, may I say that here we see in John chapter 3 and verse 16, I believe the meaning of Christmas. Let's dissect it. Can we do it, please? Statement number one, he gave because of his love. For God so loved the world. He gave because of his love. You know, there's something about motivated by love that is different than being motivated by anything else. When you love somebody, you give your very best. When you love somebody and you're wrapping the Christmas presents, you do it with love. When you love somebody and you're writing them a note, you do it with love. When you love somebody and you're writing them a letter, you do it with love. There's something special about texting somebody when you're texting somebody that you love deeply. There's something special about calling somebody when you love somebody deeply. There's something about going Christmas shopping, yes, Christmas shopping, when you love somebody deeply, trying to find that special gift as you have them in your heart, and you want to do something to be able to fulfill that love that you have in your heart for them. God teaches about love. Love begins with God. And by the way, you want to have a good marriage, you fall in love with God, and God will show you how to have a good marriage with your spouse. You want to know how to love your children more, you fall in love with God, and God would teach you how to love your children even more. But it doesn't just stop there, because His love compels Him to give. For God so loved the world, He was compelled to give. Why? Because of love. Now, by the way, He gave His very best because He loved. He gave His only because He loved. He gave that which was the most precious to Him because He loved. My grandfather, many years ago, gave me he fought in World War II, and he gave me the World War II ammo box. It's an old wooden box that they used to parachute down the ammo in, and in World War II, and you know, he was a paratrooper, and he said, "Hey, look," he said, "I'd like for you to have this," and he gave me that. That thing sits in my closet, and every time I look at that old World War II box, I remember my grandfather talking to me as he gave that to me on that one special birthday that I had. You know why? Because it's not just a wooden box to me. There's a memory there. And that memory's because my granddaddy gave it to me out of love. You know, my wife, when she was a teenager, she visited Mission Field, and she wrote me, and I wrote her, and I kept all those notes, and she kept all my notes. And we did that because of love. We do special things for each other, and we do special things for our children. You know, I thank God for Christmas for many reasons. I thank God that Jesus Christ we can recognize during the Christmas season. And by the way, in the Christmas season getting longer, have you noticed that? I mean, next year, I think they're going to start it in September is what I hear. But you know, it's getting longer and longer and longer. But, you know, I'm not against that. You know why? I'm not against that because it seems like that you can be able to have more days to emphasize Christ, more days to emphasize what he did for you and I. More days. I'm not talking about for the commercial reason, but we can have more days to be able to give out the gospel. We give these gospel cards out, these tracts, if you will, and it says that Jesus is the reason for the season, and we'll order thousands upon thousands upon thousands of those tracts, and we try and get those out. And did you know, as you pass those out in the community, many people can have an opportunity, as the gospel is given on the back of that, to be able to receive Christ and know that he is the Savior of the world. His love is characterized by his giving. The quality of the gift was his only begotten Son. His love was a gift that was completed. There was no parts necessary to read. You know, I was coming up, I never will forget my daddy. One time he purchased us a swing set. We were just little kids. And he purchased us a swing set. And just like every man, he says, oh, I don't need the instructions. He said, I'll put this thing together. He said, and it'll be just like it's pictured on the outside of the box. He said, I don't need the instructions. And he said, I'll just go by the outside of the box. Can I tell you, I cannot begin to remember how many parts we had left over. I just can't remember. Now, can I tell you, Jesus, when Jesus was given to us, he's a perfect gift. He is a sinless gift. He is a gift to the entire world. For God so loved the world. Statement number two, he gave, I said, statement number one, he gave of his love. Statement number two, he gave all that he had in his Son. You know, I do. I love my dear wife. I do. I love my dear children. I really, really do. And I have guns in my house. I do. I believe in the Second Amendment. And I tell people this. I say, if you break into my house, I can promise you one thing. You break into my house, I promise you that you'll leave holy. Because I'm a preacher. Amen. But now watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. He gave all that he had. The Bible says here, watch this, that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't know what it would be like. I really don't know. And my dear wife, Sylvia, she would not know what to do if one of her children was taken in tragedy. Oh, how hard that would be. But I don't know what it would be like to give one of my children. Now, by the way, I wouldn't have a problem. I would not have a problem. I believe this with all my heart. I would not have a problem if somebody broke into my house to lay my life down for my dear wife. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem laying it down for my children. I love my children. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I would have a problem giving my child for somebody else. Now, I'm sorry. I'm probably a little bit more selfish than you are. But I would have a problem giving my child for someone else. You know, I remember when Jonathan was over here and the family's up here singing. I remember that. And they were up here singing. I think they were singing that song. We stand here together as a family. We stand, you know, and they were singing that song. And Jonathan stood up over here and he fell down. He fell down flat. I mean, flat as a pancake. He fell down. And he was jerking all over the place, something like that. And it's because his wife gave him too many kisses that morning, I do believe. But he is jerking all over the place just like that. And I remember the church family got real quiet. It was on a Sunday night. And I remember the church family getting real quiet. And I walked down here, just right over here. And I went over by the piano. And I put my hand on his leg. And, of course, we had different ones that have medical expertise. It's here even yesterday. But I put my hand on his leg. And I began to pray. Oh, but did I cry? Did I cry? I cried and I prayed. I remember some of our other kids. I remember Josh. Josh is a young boy. He was out helping Steve Mackinder to mow his area. And, you know, there was a bolt that was stuck or something like that. And he got that masculine hand and got that hammer and started hitting that bolt. And all of a sudden it tore into his finger there and blood started gushing out. And so he comes running into the farmhouse as I was preaching for Steve Mackinder down in Mississippi. He came running into the farmhouse and he said, I think we have a problem. You know, but boy, can I tell you, oh, did my heart go out. Did my heart go out. I remember Rebecca having a toothache. And I tell you, did my heart go out. Did my heart go out. I remember Jared going through some things in his life, and he come and we'd talk together heart to heart, and oh, my heart would go out. I remember my dear wife when the tragedy hit her home down in Florida, and I remember holding her hand, and many times since then, and oh, did my heart go out. You know, when you take and you love somebody, can I tell you, when you love somebody, you want to give your all. You want to give your all. And it's not in responsive as to how they'll be to you, but you want to give your all because you care about them. You're not asking for something in exchange. You're not asking for them to be able to do some work to be able to earn your love. No. You just love somebody and you give. And that's why I love our church. Can I be honest with you? You know, we run 10 buses and we try and help underprivileged people and whatnot. And we do that because of love. We try to help people to come to God through giving them the gospel of Christ. And we do that because of love. We support missionaries around the world, and we give sacrificially to be able to get the gospel out into villages and providences because of love. The choir gets up and they practice over and over again to be able to get it right. Why? Because of love. People go out and they give out the gospel tracts and they try to help people. Why? Because of love. I'm saying he gave because of his love. He gave all that he had. Statement number next. He gave with no qualification demanded. I want you to think about this. A person, the Bible says, listen to it, that whosoever believeth in him. You know what that means? That means that every Jew can be saved. That means that every Gentile can be saved. That means that every person in a foreign land as well as in America can be saved. Listen to me now. That means that every conservative can be saved. That means that every liberal, I said yes, every liberal can be saved. That means that every single person can be saved, and they don't have to qualify. You don't have to know your Bible very well in order to be saved. You don't have to know everything about the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation in order to be saved. You don't have to be able to say, I'll be faithful to church and I'll be baptized and I'll keep the seven sacraments and yes, one of the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. No, the Bible talks about how he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him. That's pure and simple. Just pure and simple. You know, now by the way, you'll never be discouraged because of believing in him. A couple weeks ago, I told about the biggest Christmas my parents ever gave us. Oh, but it was so disheartening. They had that big old washer box. And inside that big old washer box that they had wrapped so very nice was a smaller box. And inside that smaller box, a smaller box. And inside that smaller box, a smaller box. And inside that smaller shoe box, a little bitty box. And we're opening it, and the more that we would go down a box, oh my, we were so disappointed. Because we thought it was going to be something big. And then we kept opening it, it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So finally, it's just a little bitty box. And we thought, oh, I mean, in our heart, we felt, oh, how cheated. Our love, mom and daddy's love for their little children went from this to this. How could we be excited about this when we could have had this? And all of a sudden, we opened up that little box right there. And there was a little note. Said, we love you, and your gift is in the garage. And we went out there, and there's four bicycles. Now, they couldn't fit all four of those bicycles. See, I'm saying that the end was bigger than the beginning. You know what I found out about salvation? You know what I'm loving about salvation? I'm enjoying the trip. Can I tell you? Listen, the end is going to be better than the beginning. I remember that day when I bowed my heart in Reese's Carnival Ground in Westminster, Maryland, and asked Christ to be my Savior as an 18-year-old boy, knew nothing about the Bible, knew nothing about church, knew nothing about Christian people, but I bowed my heart and received Christ as Savior. Then I went to an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church, and man of God got up, Dr. Shelton Smith, my first pastor, and began to preach. God began to change my heart. Oh, God began to show me riches of his word. And because of that, I started making life changes in my life. Because I made life changes in my life, people became less afraid of me. And people started making friends with me. And because of that, I began to have good Christian friends. Christian friends of influence. Christian friends that would help me and show me things that would cause me to grow. May I say this? I'm saying that we don't have to have any qualifications. There's no qualifications demanded to us. God would accept you just as you are. He'll save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's good at saving people. I'm saying this. I'm saying that he gave because of his love. He gave all that he had. He gave without any qualifications demanded. Statement number next. He gave with no regard of expectation. There was no regard of expectation. Okay, I'll give you eternal life if you give this to me. No. You know what? Here's what I found out in my life so far. I found out that there are people that get saved and act like it. Then I found out there's people that get saved and don't act like it. I found out there's people who get saved and they're glad they're saved. I also found out there's people who get saved and you can't tell if they're glad they're saved or not. I found out that there's people that get saved and they want to make sure that everybody else hears the gospel of how to be saved. And I found out there's people that get saved and they don't care if anybody hears it or not. I found out there's different types of Christians and different levels of dedication. I found that out. Now, before I found that out, I thought that everybody was the same. I thought, you know, because when I got saved, I got so excited about it. I know you can't tell, but I got so excited about being saved. I wanted everybody to hear it. Now, by the way, I'm still the same way. I'm a little bit more seasoned. I'll use it that way. Temperance. I'm practicing temperance. But now, wait a minute. But when it comes to giving out the gospel, I still enjoy giving out the gospel. I still enjoy witnessing. I still enjoy giving somebody a gospel tract. I don't ever want to outgrow that. I don't ever want to get to the point and the place where I just don't care. You know, I'm big on the tracts. You know I am. I tell our people, you ought to pass them out like running water. Pass them out everywhere you go. Every place you go in, somebody ought to know you're a Christian. Every place you go, somebody ought to know you're a Christian. I mean, just pass them out. Pass them out in the restaurants as you leave, and pass them out in the gas stations, and pass them out at the grocery marts, and pass them out everywhere you go. Why? Because somebody ought to come into contact with a real believer. And wouldn't it be wonderful, you, that real believer? But now wait, as I was growing up as a young person, and I received Christ as my Savior, and I went to that independent Baptist church, can I tell you, they taught the Bible. I never heard that before. I remember the first time I ever walked into a Baptist church, I didn't have a Bible. They said, turn in your Bible. I felt so awkward. They said, turn in your Bible, and they named the reference. First off, I wouldn't have known where it was if I had a Bible. Second off, I thanked the Lord there was somebody sitting beside me that had a Bible. And so they said, turn in your Bible. And a person very kindly sitting next to me turned in their Bible and shared their Bible with me. And then I began to pray. This is right after I got saved. I began to pray for a Bible. Dear God, would you please give me a Bible? And God gave me an old Scofield Bible. And I remember opening up that Bible for the very first time, and I didn't know the Bible was so big. How are you going to read this in 1 hour? I don't understand it. And then I found out you don't have to read it all in one sitting. And I found out you can't read the Bible like you read some other type of novel or book. No, no, no. It is Holy Spirit inspired. And so you have to ask God to help you as you read the Bible. And the Bible becomes alive. And so I began to read that Bible, and God started showing me things and things of that nature. But can I tell you, I am so glad that I did not have to meet a certain qualification in order to be saved. I am so glad that God was not considering I'm going to save him if he'll do something for me. Oh, no. No, there was no expectation on his part, but can I tell you, I'm so glad that when I received Christ as my Savior, that now I should not perish. I'm so glad I'll never taste the fires of hell. I'm so glad that, hey, somebody gave me the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and because of that, I was birthed into the very family of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says this. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up unto us all. The Bible says, how shall he not himself, listen to it, also freely give us all things. Now, wait a minute. And so he gave his own freely. 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 You know, as you love people, can I tell you, you want to give things to them. You do. You do. As you become friends with different ones and you fall in love with different people, you want to give yourself to them. You want to do things for them. You want to help them. You want to encourage them. Boy, can I tell you, I hope in your life, I hope in my life, that one day as we grow old together or in various places of our country, that somebody will be able to look at you, yes, and somebody will be able to look at me and say, that person made a difference in my life for good. For good. At Christmas time, it's all about the getting here in the West. May I say, it ought to change. It ought to be about the giving. Where you decide that you're going to give. You decide that you're going to help. You decide that you're going to encourage. You decide, hey, you're going to help somebody to come to that which is the Savior today. And help that person understand that he is the one that's the only way. I'm saying that he gave because of his love, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He gave all that he had. He gave with no qualification demanded. He gave with no regard of expectation. Now I say this, he gave because of a need. The Bible says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was a fellow by the name of Robert Arlington. Robert Arlington lived in a one-room home in England in the mid-1800s. He was just a bit different. You go in there, and it didn't look like it was a very nice place. I mean, wallpaper peeling off. I mean, the room was in disarray. He wasn't a very tidy person. He cooked his own food and left his pans in his kitchen sink. For 17 years, he wore the same coat. He just walked around, and he tried to cheer people up, but that was about it. When he died, he left London, England, over $5 million with a note. He said, all these years I've sacrificed so that when I died, I could leave a bigger gift than when I was alive. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Jesus Christ did for us? Jesus Christ shed his blood, went to the grave, and rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. And because of that, you and I can live victorious because of what Christ did for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says in the dispensation, it says of the fullness of times, he says he might gather them together in all one things in Christ, both which is in heaven and which is on the earth, even in him. See, in him, we have great amount of surplus because he's the one that would give to what we need. See, in him I have joy. In him I have peace. In him I have understanding. In him I have wisdom. In him I have direction. In him I have know-how. In him he shows me how to have a good wife and treat her nicely and how to have good children and treat them right. But it's all because of him. I'm saying that he gave because of a need. I'll close with a story. I love the story. It was a man that opened up a home in London, England. True story. Man had opened up a home in London, England. It was during the times of D.L. Moody. And during those times, it was poverty-stricken time. And during those times, there were a lot of street kids, orphans, that lived on the street. And during the winter time, they say that they'd find dead bodies all over the place. There was one officer that had a burden, and he found a house. And this house would take in orphans. I love the story. This house would take in orphans. And so this police officer had a burden. He would go around, and he would go around to all these alley type of areas. And he would try and find orphans that would live in the alleys. He would tell these orphans that would live in the alleys, he would say, now you need to go to a house. And at this house, when you knock on the door and the butler comes to the door, all you have to say is John 3:16. Love the story. And he'll let you in. So this police officer is going up and down the alley. The wind was blowing. The snow was piling up. The temperature had dropped. I mean, it was a very harsh, cold night in London, England. So he was going up and down the alleys and just checking doors and whatnot. He saw this little bitty boy, 12-year-old boy. He was in a box. He looked down at 12-year-old little boy and he said, now, do you have a place to go? He said, no, sir, I don't have a place to go. He said, if you'll go to this address, son, right here, just right here, if you'll go to this address, all you have to do is knock on the door. When the butler comes to the door, when the doorman's come to the door, he said, just say John 3:16. That's all you got to say. And he'll let you in. Oh, that little boy was so cold. That little boy was so lonely. That little boy was so destitute. He said, I think I'll try it. He found his way down alley after alley, came to a big, huge house. He went up into the best of his ability with a weakened strength. He knocked on that door. When he knocked on this door, this big old fella came to the door, and he said, John 3:16. And the man said, you just come on in. He could not understand it. I mean, he would have did this months ago if he knew this was this easy. He went on inside. As he got inside, the man said, why don't you sit over here by the fire? The little boy was sitting there by the fire, and he said, John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure makes the little boy feel welcome. He sat beside that fireplace, and he said, John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure makes the little boy feel warm. That man came back after a little while, and he said, son, he said, we have some supper left. Would you like some supper? That little boy, his eyes began to sparkle and got big as half dollars. And he said, sure, I would. And he went over and he sat down at the supper table and they served him a fine, fine meal. He began to think. He said, I don't know what it means. John 3:16, John 3:16, John 3:16. I don't know what it means, but it sure makes the little boy feel welcome. It sure makes the little boy feel warm. And as he's finishing his meal, he said, it sure fills the little boy up. That butler came again, and he said, look, son, he said, we have a room upstairs. He said, but I suggest we're going to give you a room for the night, or you're going to have a nice bed. He said, but I suggest before you get in that bed, you take a bath. He said, son, you need a bath. He took him upstairs, and he drew the water, and that little boy's sitting in that tub, and he's got this brush, and man, he's going this away and going that away, and he's just brushing himself down with soap, and he's beginning to think. He said, huh, John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure makes the little boy feel welcome. John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure makes the little boy feel warm. John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure fills the little boy up. John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure does clean a little boy. He went upstairs to the other part of the house, and he went into the room that they had set aside for him, and he got into the cot that night, and the man came in later on just to check on him, and the little boy said, now, I've got a question. I don't understand this. He said, you know, I came to this house. You don't know me? He said, but all I was told to say is John 3:16. I don't know nothing about John 3:16. He said, sir, so could you tell me, because I don't understand. All I understand is John 3:16 got me in. I feel welcome. It warmed me up. It fed me. It cleaned me. Now it's giving me a nice place to sleep where I can have rest tonight. John 3:16. Tell me what it means. That man was able to sit on the edge of that bed, quote John 3:16 to that little 12-year-old boy. Just like hundreds of those that were living on the streets back in those days, that these people that would open up their homes to these wayward orphans that was living on the streets and dying in the cold. Moody said, open your homes, and they did. And that man was able to share with him John 3:16 and what it meant. And he bowed his heart and received Christ. Can I tell you that one of the greatest things you could ever do is to share the gospel during Christmas time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.